Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, my name is Derek Taylor. You're listening to 5G Sports Talk today, talking everything Super Bowl. If you're like me, I'm sorry the show is starting off a little late, but if you're like me, you are glued to the TV watching how the Atlanta Falcons have imposed their will on Tom Brady and these New England Patriots in the first half. Now, just to let you all know, we broadcast here every Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time right here on JK Network. We also broadcast simultaneously on RF Sports Radio. Check them out as well as JK Network. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at 5G Sports Talk. Check out 5G Sports Roundtable on Facebook. Now, you all know how I feel. About the New England Patriots. It's no secret how I feel about the New England Patriots. I don't like them. It's so funny. Earlier this morning, I did a pre-show because I didn't think I'd be able to do this show. And I had the Falcons winning. I wanted the Falcons to win, and I said, I hope they blow them out. I hope it's not a close game. Right now, it's 21-3, and it's a mercy 3 for the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots, I like to say this, is struggling right now. Tom Brady got some yards passing, but he got that pick six. Two turnovers that went for 14 points for the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons have showed and demonstrated that they can run the ball on the Patriots. They have now shown and demonstrated they can pass the ball on the Patriots. Julio Jones did a spectacular catch, keeping both feet in bound before the touchdown came about from Matt Ryan. The New England Patriots right now has never been in this situation before, going into halftime, down 21-3. The Atlanta Falcons is the type of team you do not want to be behind because they put up points. This team has had five games this year where they scored 40 points or more. They've had five games this year as well where they scored 30 points, between 30 and 39 points. This team rarely scores 20 points in the 20s, rarely, and they're already up 21-3. This is the team you don't want to play catch-up with. I understand Tom Brady is everything, and he could come back. For Tom Brady to come back, that means the Patriots defense is going to have to show up. And I'll say this, for the most part, the Patriots defense isn't playing that bad, but they're not playing that good either. The pick six, nothing they can do about it. But the fumble forced by the Falcons, the Falcons went down the field, Patriots couldn't stop them. Plain and simple, couldn't stop them. These Falcons are for real right now. And right now, they have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. And this is about the Patriots going forward. Why? Because the last three Super Bowls before this one, the Patriots' record is 1-2. And let's be honest, that win over the Seattle Seahawks should make them 0-3. Because I don't care who you are, don't lie to yourself and say, well, we beat the Seahawks. No, you didn't. The Seahawks beat themselves. Because Marshawn Lynch and the ball on the 1 yard line, and they could have punched it in for a touchdown and ended the game. And they didn't. They threw the ball, New England wins. If they run the ball, New England loses, which means that they would have went 0-3. But they're 1-2, and they have been on a Super Bowl decline, dare I say. I mean, let's be honest. Before they won in Seattle in 2014-15 season, the last time the New England Patriots won a Super Bowl was 2005. Then the next time they won was 2014. 9 years separation. Now, they was at two Super Bowls in between then, and both they lost to the Giants. Their perfect season 07, and then in 2011, they lost to the Giants. One thing has been known about the New England Patriots, if you put pressure on Brady, well, it's kind of true by any quarterback. Put pressure on them, you can disrupt them. But with Tom Brady especially, because he really starts to unravel. It's halftime, obviously he can regroup, recover, and get focused to go out in the second half. But there's a problem with the Patriots going forward in the second half. They have to kick the ball off. The Falcons get the ball first. The Falcons right now, everything is clicking. Defense is clicking. They're hitting Tom Brady. Wide receivers dropping balls. Tom Brady throwing bad passes. No one's open. He threw a pick six. They're getting to him. Offensively, they are stuck. Defensively, it's bend but don't break, but they're broken. If Atlanta marches down the field and put up 7 more points, it'll be 28-3. The largest margin of comeback victory, the largest margin overcame in the Super Bowl for the team to win was 10. 10. They're down by 18 points right now. Unless the Atlanta Falcons completely throw the game away and fall asleep, I'm not saying it's over. The game's not over. Obviously, New England, I think New England will score some more points to save face. That's out of pride. I think they will score more points. So I think they'll win. The likelihood of winning is really getting thin. Unless Atlanta really just craps on themselves. And that means they don't score at all in the second half, which is a possibility. It's not impossible. It's improbable, but not impossible. So all you New England fans, I know you're crossing your fingers saying, well, we can come back. Y'all didn't come back against the Giants twice, and y'all got lucky against Seattle. You guys will be on the downside. And I'm going to tell you now, this goes to show, people will say that, well, the Patriots aren't that good. Their division's easy. They play in the AFC East. You get the Jets twice. You get the Dolphins twice. You get the Bills twice. You know, that's 6 wins right there. Easy 6 wins, and that's what people are going to say. You know, if people keep saying, the NFC is the hardest, it's hard, get out of the NFC. And the road for the Patriots is a lot easier than anybody else in the NFC. And right now, Atlanta Falcons is handing it to Tom Brady. We have never seen Tom Brady in a Super Bowl get his behind handed to him like this. Not on the scoreboard. We've seen him get his butt handed to him on the field, get knocked around and beat up and stuff, but not on the scoreboard, because both games that they lost to the Giants were both relatively close games. Not this one, not like this. And I'm going to tell you, Matt Ryan, who was just named league MVP yesterday, is playing like it. Julio Jones is a bad man. That running game, they're gashing the Patriots every chance they get. The Patriots are bleeding right now. Halftime, obviously they're going to make adjustments. Dan Quinn, who's done a hell of a job with these Falcons, he got them playing. He got them playing great team football. Throughout the season, he introduced them to table ping pong, and he made these guys play ping pong together. So now they play ping pong in the locker room, ping pong table, all the locker rooms and stuff. And that's how these guys bond. And you can see it on the field; they really play for each other. You know, I'm not saying other teams' players don't play for each other, you know, but they're playing for each other right now. They're the Atlanta Falcons. The last one they was in the Super Bowl was 1999 when they played the Denver Broncos, and they lost that game, and that was under Coach Dan Reeves at the time. Now, there's a new sheriff in town. Many coaches came and gone. But the Falcons, who are going to get a new stadium next year, maybe will christen in that stadium as Super Bowl champs. I understand the game ain't over until that buzzers, until the refs blow the whistle, and that's a fact. But as it stands right now, Atlanta should win the game. Now, will they win the game? I don't know. We don't know that. Because why? It's still the New England Patriots. It's still the whole second half. But I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If Atlanta comes out and they score and they open and drive, New England is spiraling into a death spiral. Because now they can't run with James. They can't run with LeGarrette Blount anymore. They're going to have to start throwing the ball more. And that plays right into the Falcons' hands because it makes the Patriots one-dimensional. LeGarrette Blount ran for over 1,000 yards this year. Now, that people say that's a lot. Wow, 1,000 yards. Yeah. But let's put it in perspective. You know, if he averaged 65 to 70 yards a game, yes, he will run for 1,000 yards. If he averages 65 to 70 yards per game, he'll scrape 1,000. That's what he did. He got 1,100 and some change. But he will virtually be taking out the game if Atlanta score again. And I'm using this halftime break to broadcast. So once halftime is over, the show will be over because I want to watch the rest of the Super Bowl along with everybody else. But I will say this. It's not over. It's not. Falcons have a lot to continue to do. I hope Dan Quinn calms them down and say, look, yeah, we up. But across that hallway, in that other locker room, the bunch of men that have been here and done that. They won a Super Bowl roughly 2 years ago. They've been here and done that. They're not done. They're not going to roll over and feel bad for themselves. They're going to come out and play hard. So we got to come out with the same intensity, or if not even harder. And let's stop bailing them out. And I'm going to tell you this. At one point, you know, it looked like the refs was helping Tom Brady. Some of these little defensive holds for the cornerbacks. Yeah, I get it because of the rules. But in the first quarter, there was three separate instances where Julio Jones was jammed and being held. No flags, no whistles. Tom Brady and the Patriots obviously struggling. The flags are coming out a little more often. I'll leave that for that. But at one point, the Patriots had more penalty yards in their favor than actual yards that they have gained. That tells you the state of this Patriots offense right now. They need to get it together. Dan Quinn has definitely found what it takes to get this Atlanta Falcons team to play. I have family in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta when I went to school. I know a lot about Atlanta, and they love them. They love them some Falcons, and I know it's going to be crazy in Atlanta. And I'll be going to Atlanta in 2 weeks. And if they win the Super Bowl, I will be there in 2 weeks. And I'm going to tell you, Atlanta going to be off the chain, so to speak. But all in all, this may very well be their year. And another thing I'm going to point out to you. Both Super Bowl losses that New England had, they were the favorite to win. The Super Bowl victory over Seattle that they got, they were the underdog, and they won. Going into this Super Bowl with the Falcons, the Patriots were the favorites, and they're losing. I think if the Patriots go in as favorites, they'll lose because that's what the trend has been. And, again, I know the game's not over, but psychologically, if the Falcons come out and score, and especially they score with ease, you know, seven plays, eight plays, and they score, that's going to hurt New England. New England the players got to make sure they don't get into panic mode, but they understand the clock is running against them too. So New England will be playing against the score and the clock and that defense. That's a lot. And they're used to putting teams in that position, not being in that position themselves, especially on a big stage like this, the Super Bowl in Texas, big Texas. And it's going to be an amazing second half. I do expect New England to come out and score a touchdown, probably their first drive or their second drive. I'm expecting to at least put seven on the board. I'm not looking for Atlanta to just blow New England out like they did the Green Bay Packers. I'm not looking for that, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. It can very well happen. It may be happening. It may can happen in a blink of an eye because right now, technically, it is a blowout right now. The reign of Tom Brady is coming to an end, and it's okay. Tom Brady, seven Super Bowl appearances. He won four. Seven Super Bowl appearances. He's won four. He lost two, and he's currently in one right now. Impressive. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. No one can take that from him. One of the absolute greatest quarterbacks ever. But right now, it seems like that shine ain't as shiny as it used to be. It's a little rusty and dull. There's no Gronkowski. That hurts, but there was no Gronkowski basically all year. You know, and big turnovers has just been hurting these Patriots. Atlanta Falcons, I predicted them to win. I didn't by a small margin, 6 to 7 points, touchdown and two field goals. I didn't expect the game to go necessarily this way, but I'm not surprised it's gone this way. They blow teams out. They score points. That's it. They just score points. And their defense, they're getting a Tom Brady with a regular four-man rush. That's problems for Tom Brady because why? That means a lot of those dink routes that he liked to throw to Edelman and them, those slant routes, won't be there because linebackers are playing in the zone coverage. That's problems. And on the other end, the Patriots are playing a lot of man, and Julio Jones and them is starting to get it going, and it's hurting them. Bill Belichick's going to think of something. Bill Belichick's a great coach. He is, no question about it. He's going to coach his way up out of here, and they're going to play their behinds off to win this game. But right now, the stand 21-3, Atlanta Falcons. Moving on, come right out of time before the halftime show ends. T.O., no Hall of Fame for him this year. Terrell Owens is 8th all-time in receptions, 3rd all-time in touchdowns, and he's also 2nd all-time in receiving yards behind Jerry Rice, 3rd all-time in touchdown behind Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, and 8th all-time in receptions. How is it that he gets snubbed for a Hall of Fame bid, but Morton Anderson gets in for Atlanta Falcons, former kicker? His primary play most of his career in San Francisco, then he went to Atlanta, then he went to the Saints, and he moved around from team to team, the Cleveland Browns, so on and so forth. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the Hall of Fame. He does. Kurt Warner's going in. Jerry Jones is going in for his contributions he did for the NFL, along with Al Davis and other owners like them. LaDainian Tomlinson, who definitely deserves it, he's going in. Jason Taylor and a list of other players that are going in. But why isn't Terrell Owens going in? Because these sports writers, these voters, got their panties in a bunch. Yes, just like today at the house, I'm at my friend's house, he's watching and we talked about it. The first thing he said, well, he's a locker room distraction. Yes, he is a locker room distraction. No question about that. A lot of players that are in the Hall of Fame are locker room distractions. But you put him in based on what he did on the field. And on the field, he is top 3 greatest wide receiver all time. The only 2 other wide receivers you could put before him is Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. Jerry Rice set the bar extremely high. Randy Moss went after Jerry Rice, and Terrell Owens did too. These are the 3 best wide receivers all time. How you don't let Terrell Owens in? And don't do this bull crap. You're going to wait to his last year eligibility and then vote him in. That's pathetic. Larry Fitzgerald's going to retire soon, maybe after next season, I'm not sure. He better not get in the Hall of Fame before Terrell Owens. There's a lot of guys that are great players that should not get into the Hall of Fame before Terrell Owens. He's been eligible longer. Terrell Owens should have been a first ballot Hall of Fame based on what he did on the field, because football is by what they do on the field. On the field, there's a lot of players that was locker room problems, that was disruptive in the locker room. The only difference between them and Terrell Owens, mass media wasn't what it was then as it is now. When Terrell Owens had his beef with Donovan McNabb, yeah, they made it public. It was everywhere. He made it public. I'm not saying that the judgment of him is not warranted. It is. But back in the day, you know, when media, mass media wasn't what it was then, back in the early 80s, you know, late 80s, 70s, you know, early 90s, where the media was everywhere. Hell, it's nowhere near like it was now, like it is now. There's a lot of guys that was most likely problems. You know, Babe Ruth, who they consider one of the greatest physical players ever, was not liked in his locker rooms. Fans loved him, players not so much. There's a whole host of other great players that was not a team favorite. But they produced, and they was awarded accordingly with the Hall of Fame bust and that golden jacket. And Terrell Owens has done his job. It's not to vote him in because you're giving him anything. You're not going to give Terrell Owens the Hall of Fame. He earned it. He worked for it. And you selfish private reporters that voted need to give it to him. Yes, was he narcissistic, destructive, self-centered, self-absorbed, egotistical? Of course. A lot of athletes of his magnitude are. A lot of them. Not all of them. There's a lot of good ones, too. But a lot of them are like him, too. This man has never been arrested for nothing, for anything. Never had to fear for a judge. Never got suspended. I mean, he's been a model citizen. He has done a lot of stupid crap that he probably regrets now. We all have done dumb things. We've all been there and acted like jerks. Don't say you haven't. But if you say you haven't, you're lying. We all have had those moments. It's just that his was televised. He wanted to win. There's no question about that. He was definitely one of the greatest wide receivers ever and should be rewarded as such. He should be rewarded because he earned it. They ain't giving him anything. I'm not a Terrell Owens fan. I never really cheered for him. I watched his career in San Francisco and in Philly and in Dallas, and I just watched him play. Cincinnati, I watched him. You know, the game where I catch the rolls, I have to. I'm a sports guy. I love sports, so I'm going to watch. But make no mistakes, I'm not Terrell Owens fan. I'm not at all. But with that being said, that's why I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I have no dog in the fight with him. I respect his game. I respect how he played. He came on the field, he gave you everything. He should be in for what he did on the field. His numbers alone, his Hall of Fame numbers. Third all-time in touchdowns, second in receiving yards, eighth in catches. Come on. Come on. Let's not let another season, another Hall of Fame ballot go by. He don't get in. It's ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as Pete Rose being banned from the Hall of Fame for gambling on baseball as a general manager. He should be in the Hall of Fame as a baseball player because what he did as a baseball player is what you got him in. But, you know, people can be petty, and that's what's going on. Terrell is wrongly being kept out. I think he should be in. But I don't make those decisions. I wish I did. But we'll see going forward. NFL season after this game will be over. Watching the Super Bowl commercial, we'll talk about that next week too. But then we're going to make our transition to the NBA. A lot going on in the NBA trade deadline. Who's in, who's out, NBA All-Star game, injuries, reports, who's coming back sooner than later, and so on and so forth. Also, spring training. Baseball's about to start cranking up. You know I'm pulling for my New York Yankees. We had a quiet offseason. They did some things that brought back about this Chapman and whatnot. You know, so they're making moves. We'll see, and I'm going to show you all my Yankees championship ring that I got, 1998 championship ring. I love it. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm going to post that on Facebook as well and Instagram. But I'm going to post that today, matter of fact. But that's what we're going to lean towards next week, so check us out then. Like I said, the Super Bowl is about to kick back off, so I'm about to go in there and participate in it. Thank you all for tuning in right here on the J. King Network, broadcasting every Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Also, we broadcast on RF Sports Radio as well. Until then, we will see you when we see you. Peace. Tutelu. Motherfucker. Boom.